Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see you.
Good morning,
Dave. I think I missed you a while ago, but good to see you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Well, I hope and pray everybody had a good week. Good morning. I know it was kind of wet this morning, but we need the rain as well as the sunshine. So I'll be looking at starting about verse 17 in chapter 11. We have been studying in this book of the chapter on faith. I'd like to remind us that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. Really, really, everybody that's got a rational mind operates on faith. Now, what's their faith in? Most people's faith is in worldly things. They got a lot of faith. If they make a lot of money, well, you know, things will go well. Well, their faith is in money. Faith is in material things. And I understand we have some necessities of life. I understand that God commanded us to work, to provide things for our family and for those that don't have. But the greatest faith is faith in God and what God can do for me and what God has done for me. See, like I said last week, I encountered this guy over here, and I gave him a track, and he asked me if I was a free willer. I said, No, I'm an independent Baptist. He said, well, that's free willing. And so I got to talking to him a minute, and he said, now you need to go to the 9th chapter of Romans. And I'm thinking, well, okay. 9th chapter of Romans is a good chapter, but mainly it's to the Jews. Now preachers can preach out of the 9th chapter of Romans and find some good scriptures in there. But I told him, I said, well, and of course y'all heard me go through that last Sunday, so I won't repeat it. But, you know, some people believe that salvation is by grace only. By grace only. But salvation in our dispensation is not by grace only. It's by grace through faith. Now, I taught here one Wednesday night. There is three responses to getting saved. Number one, when you hear the gospel, and in our dispensation, people have to hear the gospel. The first response to getting saved is God responds to the sinner. Now, preachers can tell people they're lost, and they should. But you really don't get it until God responds and lets you know that you're the person. You're the one. Because most of us sit on the back bench or somewhere when we were lost and let the preacher preach, and there'd be times we'd be sitting there and say, he ain't preaching to me, he's preaching to Joe. But sometime if you're saved in your life, God lets you know he was preaching to you.
Amen.
And God has to let you know that. See? Okay, the second response is yours. And I'm back to Cain and Abel. Abel didn't offer a right sacrifice. God came to Cain and said, if you will do right, shall you not be accepted?
Yeah.
Now, was it up to God or up to Cain right there? Now, God responded. Everybody on board with that? God responded. Now, whose time is it to respond? You see what I mean? See what I mean? Now, I know, and you got to be real careful there, because you can't get hard shellism too hard, and you can't get easy believingism too easy. One man said, asked this preacher, said, are you an Arminian or a Calvinist? He said, I'm not either one. I'm a Baptist. And that's right. Now, the third response is if you obey God by faith, God gives you a response to let you know something happened to you. That's the third response. So you got two responses from God, one response from man. See? I mean, many, many, many scriptures in the Bible, or several, let me say it that way, let us know that. In chapter 22 of Revelation, the Spirit says come, the bride says come, let him that heareth say come, and whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. Okay now, that's the final plea in the Bible to human race. See? So what's the response there? See what I mean? Do you think that God has responded to people and they got under conviction and did not go ahead and trust? Sure, sure. What about Felix? Paul spoke to him of righteousness and judgment to come, and Felix trembled. Was God responding? Yes. As far as we know, Felix did not respond. You see what I mean? Yep. So you got to be careful with these people that say, it's by grace only. Well, if it was grace only, why didn't Felix get it? You see what I mean? All right, I'm still talking on faith. Now, I know when you're lost that you don't have any faith. But at that moment, you surrender. See, that's called repentance. Repentance is surrendering. Now, hard shell people call that works. Repentance is not works. Repentance is the opposite of works. That's what I believe. And so we surrender, but God gives you faith at that moment to trust Him. Because if you're lost and you're coming in the presence of God under conviction, you never have trusted Him. See, it's new country to you. But when God sees your heart is responsive to Him of what He determines you need, not me, not a preacher, what He determines, then God gives you faith to trust Him and believe in Him. See? So I wanted to get to that faith. But faith, now, there's two faiths, two kind of faith. One is saving faith, and then there's living or serving faith. And basically what the 11th chapter of Hebrews is talking about is serving faith. See? In other words, we've already gone through some of it, but why did Noah build an ark? You say, well, he believed God. That's right. But what caused him to do it? He moved by faith and built an ark for the saving of his house. Not the saving of his soul, saving his house. His soul was already saved. See? So faith is living faith. It causes you to do things by faith that you wouldn't normally do. See what I mean? Now, I've spoken already of Abraham, and I think I've said this twice already. Let me say it one more time. Abraham is spoken of in the Bible more than any other man on earth except Jesus Christ. I mean, you can find Abraham from Genesis to Revelation. Now, not in every book, I know, but you find him mentioned in more than any other earthly man. So Abraham was the father of faith. Does not mean that anybody didn't have faith before Abraham, because we got Enoch, we got Noah, we got them kind of people. But Abraham had faith to get up and move to another country. And we'll be talking about that. We talked about that last week. He got up and moved where God said, go. See? All right, now this week we want to talk about a little bit about some more of the things that Abraham did by faith. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure. All right, now, when did God... So we see that God... Abraham had faith that God would raise Isaac up, even though God said, you must kill him. Now, there's a great lesson in that. And I know y'all have all read it, but, you know, God came upon Abraham and said, I want you to take Isaac up and offer him up on a burnt offering. And God had already told Abraham, and Isaac shall I see be blessed, all the nations of the world. So Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. In other words, he didn't say, yeah, Lord, I'll get up in the morning about 11 o'clock. He got up early, saddled his ass, and he and the servants and the young boy went. And y'all know the story. On the trip up there, the young lad said, Father, here's the wood. Here you got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, my son, God will provide the sacrifice. Now, you know what? Isaac's condemnation from God was the same condemnation that me and you had. God said, you got to die. In God's word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all are going to die. See? The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So God said, everybody's got to die because they're sinners. See what I mean? Well, what's the message? The message today is, but God will supply an offering for your soul. You see what I mean? So really, Abraham was telling Isaac, God will provide so that your life can be saved. So God provided Jesus Christ so that mine and your life could be saved. You see what I mean? So Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but he took Isaac up and offered him up. And I want to turn you to Romans chapter 4 and get into this a little bit. Romans.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Please. So you see in verse number 19, you know, God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure.
Okay.
Can you?
Yes, I can. How did Abraham receive Isaac from the dead? Because he was past having children. Sarah was. You see?
Yeah.
I mean, she was 90 years old. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he received him from the dead from that standpoint.
What if whenever it says whence he also received him in a figure? What was
the figure is the type that God brought Isaac. Even from an older woman that was, her time was past bearing.
Does that sound like the resurrection?
God promised that Abraham was in your seed, so all the earth was blessed. That was the promise that God gave him. And that wasn't in Ishmael, it was in Isaac. Abraham believed that. Now all his hope was in Isaac for that promise. So he had to receive that promise in Isaac. Then God said, go kill him.
He's a figure of Christ. Isaac is a figure of Christ.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Isaac is a figure of Christ.
Thank you.
God raised him up, even from the dead.
Yeah.
From whence also?
Was willing to give his life as Christ was willing to give his life. But when God stayed his hand, that is, he fulfilled the type of Christ as a figure.
Mm-hmm. I think the song of Christ, say Isaac went up there rebelling, not wanting it, but I think he went willingly because the convictions of his father was saved.
Yep. But Abraham received him from the dead because of the deadness of Sarah's womb. I think it's what he's talking about right here. See? In other words, Abraham had already had a flash of faith. See? I mean, Abraham was 75 years old when he came out of Haran. Sure. Well, you know, it talks about the deadness of Sarah's womb. If we'll go to Romans chapter 4, I think I'll get into that a little bit.
Huh. That's pretty cool. I never noticed that. Romans 4, verse 17. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Verse 13. Romans chapter 4. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. See what he's saying there? In other words, God gave Abraham promises 430 years before the law. All right? For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. See what he's saying? Now today, in our dispensation, that's especially true because everybody that's in religion is trying to keep some kind of law. Now they claim that it's plain Bible law. But talk to them. And those people try to keep things. Some of them believe in water baptism. Some believe do the best you can. Some believe give to the Red Cross, help the poor. Well, that's the law to them. See, now not to God, but to them. All right? Faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. See? So the promise, if God had given Abraham the law, which he didn't, and said, here's what I'm going to save you by, then the promises would have not been any good. Because the law would have superseded it. But Paul is trying to tell them here, no, faith supersedes the law. See what he's saying? Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. See what I mean? One man said the law had us bound. Now the law was no mercy in the law. For instance, the law said, thou shalt not cook food on the Sabbath. We find over there in the Old Testament a man, I think it's in Numbers, a man went out on a Saturday morning and he built a fire to cook breakfast. And they caught him. And they said, what are we going to do with this guy? So the elders said, put him in a hole and we'll go to Moses. So they went to Moses. And, I mean, man, he just built a little fire on Sunday morning, Saturday morning rather. So what's the deal? So they went to Moses and Moses inquired of God. And God said, stone him. Okay, now, what dispensation were they operating under? The law. Now, you would think if the law was going to have any mercy, it would have mercy on that man, wouldn't you? Not any. Not any. Yes, sir.
So, I mean, for people who are under the law and not in Christ, not under grace, I mean, it's still lawful. I mean, to stone them, right? No, I mean, I'm not being funny. I'm serious.
Well, the law demanded it.
Okay.
Now, over in Israel, they got Orthodox Jews and this kind of Jew and that kind of Jew. And I don't know if they stone people in Israel or not, but they stone people in Iraq and Iran. See? Well, the Muslims, they kind of grafted in some of that. But they still stone them over there.
So they're watered down, basically.
Oh, yeah. But the Jew is just like the Gentile today from a standpoint of what do you believe? Well, they all have a law to themselves. I mean, people will tell you that if you'll listen to what they're saying. You know? Well, do you do that? Oh, no, I don't do that. No, I don't do that. But do you cuss? Yeah, I cuss a little. Just a little, you know. Do you drink? I drink just a little. Just a little, not much. You ever notice that's always just a little? See what I mean? Well, now I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just saying that the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Did you get that? Now I'm back talking to the fellow that believes in grace only. See? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. In other words, God's got plenty of grace, but we have to have a faith to channel grace to us. Faith is a channel by which grace reaches us. You see what I mean? To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now that's kind of a strange statement, isn't it? Father of us all. People say, well, Abraham was under the old covenant. How could he be our father? Well, like I said a while ago, living faith, Abraham was an example of what God would do for people that obey Him. See? Now, in all of Abraham's life, do you think God blessed Abraham? See? Well, it's unheard of for a man 100 years old and his wife 90 years old having children. See? And so we see there that his faith pleased God. So God gave him these gifts that he had promised him. In other words, Abraham was operating under promise. You got to remember, Abraham didn't have a church. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have any Christian friends. See? And when you think about that would take more faith than what me and you got. You see what I mean? But his faith was such that he pleased God. Okay. But to that also which of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Well, Abraham pushed out. And he pushed out. And he was the father of the Jewish nation. And what's significant about the Jewish nation? Well, the Jewish nation was a little bitty stream of people that God chose to keep his oracles through. Now, as far as I know, God never gave oracles to any Gentile under the first covenant. As far as I know. Now, some people can go to Job and say, well, God dealt with Job. But you can't for sure prove that Job, in fact, it's kind of indicated in the Bible that Job was a descendant of Shem. So, now that don't make him a Jew, but it makes him in that family. Okay? And so, Abraham is the father of us all. In other words, he's the father of the kind of faith that me and you need. Now, not the same message, but the same faith. Is everybody on board with that? Okay?
He was talking about his faith.
Right.
He had
right.
the faith that Christ required.
That's right.
And the same with Abraham. He had the faith God required.
That's right. Yep. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. All right? Now, what kind of hope did he have? What kind of hope did he have? He had a hope that God would deliver on his promises. See, me and you live today by hope. I haven't seen heaven. I haven't seen street of gold. I haven't seen the many mansions. But I believe they're there. See what I mean? So that's what God, that's what Paul here is talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Now, with mankind, Abraham's situation was impossible. There was no doctors that could cause Sarah to have a son when she was 90 years old. So he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, that's what we were talking about a while ago. The deadness of Sarah's womb. Hey, even in her young days, she was barren. Right? Now, what about when she gets old? Oh, it's really impossible now. Not with God, it isn't. You see what I mean? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See? And being... Right.
It causes you to do something.
Right.
And you act upon that conviction.
Right.
Faith causes all that.
Yep.
Or faith enables all that.
Well, let's just look at our situation. Why are you at church this morning? Are we here to show off our tithe?
No.
Are we here to show off? See? So we are here by faith. Because of obedience. The Lord said, forsake not to assemble themselves together so much the more as you see the day approaching. See? So by faith. See? Yeah.
You know, Brother Ben, we talk of faith, and I can't help but think about Sarah. When the angels came to see Abraham and told him he would have a son, Sarah laughed.
Yes, sir?
Her faith wasn't strong enough. But when God, his angels addressed her, he gave her the faith she needed.
Yep.
Yeah, but when Abraham said, honey, pack the bag, we're going. She said, where are you? I don't know. She didn't balk it, so.
That's true.
Tell me another woman like that.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Everybody get that? Abraham was not justified as pertaining to the salvation of his soul by works. His soul was justified by faith. But his works were justified by his faith. In other words, we're down now to where he staggered not at the promises of God. See what he's saying?
That he was able also to perform. So there's God illuminating him. He receives what God gave him and he acts upon that.
Right.
God sees that he's acting and he blesses him because of what he's done with what God has given him.
That's right. That's right. And that's faith. That's operating on faith. See? Therefore, verse 22 again, it was imputed to him for righteousness. See? What was imputed to him for righteousness? Yeah. See? What God did for him. I'll make thee a man. I'll make thee a father of many nations. Wait a minute. I'm 75 years old and I don't even have one child, much less many. See? Of course, me and you know the story. Isaac and Ishmael was born. You know the story on that. Then Esau and Jacob was born. As far as we know, that's the only children Isaac had. And then here comes Jacob. Well, in God's providence, he provided Jacob with four wives. Now, that don't make sense in our day, but it was not prohibited in that day. So God, through Jacob, raised up the patriarchs to Israel. And I was going to say a while ago, God started the Israelite nation in Abraham, and he did it to put his word in the earth. See? All the millions and billions of Gentiles. See? As far as I know, never spoke to anybody in this age, and I'm talking about Abraham's age, except Abraham's descendants. See, when you go back there and you read the books of the Old Testament, and you read the names of those people, Habakkuk, Jonah, all them people, they were Jews. Right. Right. That's right. Now let me remind you that even though Abraham and Israel got the oracles from God, a stranger could come in. A stranger could come in. See? Okay, now that is what I think it meant when he's going to bless all nations. See? Now it was kind of narrow, but Gentiles could get in under the law covenant. You see what I mean? But when Jesus Christ was rejected by the Jews, and I think he was rejected three times. People may disagree with that, and that's fine. First of all, he was rejected when he preached the gospel throughout the land of Israel. Then he was rejected when he came down the streets riding the foal of the ass. I mean, a lot of people put their clothes and palm branches in front of him, but our nation as a whole was not there. And then they totally rejected him when they said, "Crucify him and let his blood be upon us and our children." And I think God granted that request. What do you think? You see? And when Jesus rose from the dead, thank God, he told them apostles, "Go now therefore in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." You see how God blessed all nations? See? Well, I think Abraham, at the time God accepted him, and maybe the show of it would be when he was circumcised, that he became what God would call a Jew. That's how I see it.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I wanted to clear it all in Syria.
Well, they were when they came out of Syria, but so was other people.
That's a good answer.
So was other people. See. Right.
And if you weren't circumcised, you weren't in the covenant.
Right. Okay. Yeah. See?
God was taking out of the world a rivulet, a small stream
yep.
of people
yep.
separated unto himself. Now, they went through the law and many other things before that he actually could prove a stream of faith to himself. But that was brought and manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, Paul explains this very good in Galatians when he said, to thee and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He said he didn't mean seeds. It meant seed, which was Christ. Now you get back to Timothy where the woman shall be saved through childbearing. Does not mean the Catholics or the Mormons have 15 kids and the woman will go to heaven, which they teach that. Which they teach that. It meant that she would keep having children until Christ came. Sure it is. Yeah.
We just get in on his shirt tails, you know.
Verse 23. I'm still in Romans 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us. Did you get that? I got us underlined. Also, to whom it shall be imputed, if, Mr. Hardshell, where you at? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. See what he's saying there? So he was raised for our justification. See? By his stripes we're healed. Go to Isaiah 53, read that, and it just fulfills this, in my opinion, to a T. And we see that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so he has that before us. Now I'm back in Hebrews. And so I'm gonna leave Abraham there and we're gonna go to verse 20 of Hebrews 11. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Everybody knows about that incident. You know, Isaac wanted to bless Esau because he was the favorite, but it wasn't so with God, because when the boys were being born, the Lord said to Rebecca. Said to Rebecca, the elder shall serve the younger. Now that didn't make sense to man again. But you see God's sovereign will being done. Somebody said, well, how come God to choose Jacob and not choose Esau? Jacob was a supplanter, wasn't he? Yep. I'm back to the same question I was last Sunday about why God chose Aaron to be the high priest. God chose him because he's sovereign. That's right. What are you saying? What are you asking?
Well, the descendants of Jacob and the descendants of Esau.
Yeah.
Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated.
Right. Okay. But where did God... Where's the first time God accosted Jacob? On the trip up to get his wives. At the rock where he spent the night. He got up the next morning, blessed the rock, said, I'm going to call this Bethel, which means the house of God, for surely God is here. So you know, that's God responding.
Sovereign, and that was for us to come to Christ. It's our will. He gives us a the will let him come.
Yep.
Amen. So a man hears the gospel, and then he receives the gospel by faith, like Brother was talking about today. But God's not sovereign to save a man. That's Calvinism.
Yep.
And you can't really say it's a free will. You can't really say it's a free will because we're enslaved with our facilities, with our nature.
But he changes your will.
You know, if we have a free will, we can choose to serve God or not choose to serve God. But in our depraved state, we don't ever choose that. We always choose to go the wrong way, and God has to illuminate us and draw us.
But it's through the gospel.
Right.
It's through the gospel. It ain't because of the sovereign will of God. It's gospel, man, believe. God has given us the gospel of Jesus Christ. If a man rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's hell bound.
Right.
Yeah. God's going to turn it.
I believe.
But God rejects the gospel. God gives us faith.
Right.
If I didn't. If when I was saved, if God hadn't given me faith, I wouldn't have taken that next step.
You got that faith through the gospel.
Right, right. But yeah. God delivered it through the gospel to me.
Yeah.
And it was just pinpoint, microscopic, for lack of a better word. It was directly aimed at me.
Right.
Nobody else
right.
was aimed directly at me. And we can't get past that sometimes.
Let me finish up my lesson today reading verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You see, what this chapter is saying, all these old patriarchs operated on promise, but it was faith on their part. See, God gave the promise. Now, it's just like today. God gave a promise. You believe on my son, savingly, you will go to heaven when you die. Well, does people believe it? Well, most people in America believe in heaven, hell, not all of them. But it's not, you can't, but they can't achieve it on their own merits. See? Even when God visited Jacob on the road, you know, it was a visitation from God. Jacob was a supplanter. He cheated his brother out of the birthright, really, from human law. But back again, God chose him. You see what I mean? But God, just like us, Jacob had to be forgiven, and I believe God did forgive him.
David's a man after